I invite you to be finding the text that you see over my head, Titus chapter 2, and we'll be looking at verses 1 through 4. Titus chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. These are words that the Apostle Paul is writing to the young minister, Titus. Here's what Paul says. You, however, that is you, Titus, you must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children. Despite all of the advances in modern medicine, there is still no cure for the common birthday. I know that because I had one this past week. And I tried to think of any way to prevent it and couldn't come up with any good way. We look forward to living in that land where we never grow old. But right now we live in this land. And in this land we keep having those pesky birthdays, and those birthdays after a while begin to pile up, and all of a sudden we find ourselves getting older. We have a choice. We can grow old grudgingly, or we can grow old gracefully. And if we will listen and apply to what Paul says right here in this text, we can do the latter. We can grow old gracefully. Now, before we dig into this text, let's give a couple of caveats here. Number one, let's ask the question, what is old? When Paul says older men, older women, who exactly does he have in mind? Who is in that category? The Houston Chronicle published an article recently to help us look for clues that we might be getting older. Let me mention a few of them. If all of your dreams are reruns, you might be getting older. If you sit in a rocking chair and can't get the thing started, you might be getting older. If the old lady that you're helping across the street is your wife, you might be getting older. If you remember when the Dead Sea was just sick, you might be getting older. If the snap, crackle, and pop that you hear in the morning is not coming from your cereal, you might be getting older. Well, what are we talking about when we say older? Well, we don't really have many clues from Paul, but we do have a clue from a contemporary author that lived around the same time that Paul did, Philo. Philo wrote, and he used this same word, older, and he clarified it. What he meant was people who are 60 and older. And so we figure that is at least a ballpark guess for what Paul has in mind here in this text. So Paul is telling us how to live in such a way that when we get to those 60s and beyond, that we can be living graceful, beautiful, Christian lives. And let me also say that if you are young, don't tune this message out, because you're going to be old before you know it. Now, I knew I would get old one day, but I thought it would take longer than this. And I thought this Thursday, how in the world did I get to 53? Someone has said, inside of every old person, there is a young person saying, what happened? And that's true, isn't it? Those of us who are getting older know that. But if you are young, don't tune this out, because you're going to need this. And you can set this as your goal, and you can be heading in this direction when we talk about how to age with Christian character and with grace. I'll also remind young people, and some of our young people are away this morning, by the way, on a youth rally trip. But let me remind the young people who are here that you will spend the second part of your life reaping what you sowed in the first part. And so how you are living right now is going to affect how you age and what even happens in your older age. So this message does matter to you as well. So growing old gracefully, let's just break it down in two simple ways. We'll talk about growing old gracefully for men. We find that in verse 2. And then growing old gracefully for women. We find that 3 and 4. So first of all, growing old gracefully for men. Let's look at it again. Teach the older men, this is verse 2, to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. Paul basically says two things, if we want to get it down to a nutshell, to older men that they need to be taught. They need to be self-controlled, and they need to be sound. How do older men grow old gracefully? They're self-controlled and they're sound. That word temperate, maybe your version says sober, means more than just not drunk, though it does imply that. But it implies general moderation. Temperate means that you are free of every form of excess. You don't let anything control you. Anything except the Spirit of God. Those of us who are older have accumulating aches and pains, both physical and mental and emotional, right? We have some guilt and we have some regret and we may have some resentment or bitterness over some things that have happened, and we have some worries about what might happen in the future. And it is so tempting for us to seek to drown all of that pain in some form of addiction. It's so easy for us to attempt to drown our accumulated pain with drugs or alcohol or gambling or a sexual addiction or some other sort of addiction that may be out there. What a shame it is if those of us who are running the last laps of this race we call life are too drugged or drunk or distracted to really embrace it and really enjoy it. What a shame. And Paul says, don't let that happen to you. Don't let anything control you except the Holy Spirit of God working in conjunction with this word. Let the Spirit of God working with the word control your thoughts, your words, your actions, your attitude. And then you'll be in good shape. And then the second thing that Paul says about older men is they need to be sound. Sound means mature or healthy. And did you notice there at the end of verse 2, Paul gives us three areas where older men need to be sound: faith, love, and endurance. The first one is faith. Older men need to develop and deepen their relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And we need to always be working on that. And it needs to get deeper and deeper and deeper as time goes on in our lives. You know, one of the ugliest things imaginable is an old man who has no faith in God. His eyes are burned out from lust. His face is fixed in a permanent scowl. Filthy language comes out of his mouth. And he's got nothing to look forward to except decline and death. And it shows all over him. But in contrast, there are few things that are more appealing and attractive than an older man who has a strong, deep faith in God. He's not just growing old, he's growing. And he knows deep down in his core that as every day passes, that's just a day that brings him closer to being in the presence of his Lord. He knows it. And it shows all over him. And it is a beautiful thing to see. I heard a preacher say this recently, and I believe it. He said, the devil has some happy younger people, but the devil doesn't have any happy older people. Some of those young people who are living for the devil, now that they are enjoying the pleasures of sin for that season, and they're still in that season. And you've heard me describe it this way, but they're like the person that's jumped off the skyscraper and they're plunging toward the pavement. Somebody halfway down says, how's it going? They say, so far, so good. You know, you just haven't hit yet. But older people, the devil's got no happy older people because there's nothing for them to look forward to. So Paul says, be sound in the faith, develop and deepen that personal relationship with Jesus as you age. And then notice, he says, be sound in love. Faith motivates us to serve God. Love motivates us to serve other people. And older men ought to dedicate our lives to service. I've told you before about Dr. Viktor Frankl. He was an Australian neurologist and psychiatrist and philosopher. And he was placed in a death camp, a German death camp, during the Holocaust. And as he spent those months in that horrible condition, he started noticing something. He started noticing that the prisoners who could maintain their sanity and their strength, mental and physical and emotional strength, those prisoners who could do that were those who were not focused on their own pain. They were focused on helping others. And he said, I just started paying attention to that, and I noticed the ones who were going here to see about that one, and going there to see about that one, and going there to see about that one, they lasted. They made it. They held on to their strength and their sanity. But those who got wrapped up in themselves and their own pain, they didn't make it. They never made it out. Frankl wrote an incredible book that I would recommend to you, Man's Search for Meaning. And in the book, he argued very, very powerfully for the fact that physical and mental and emotional and spiritual health are all improved as we age, as we increase our love and our compassion and our service to others. And that's what older men ought to be working on. Sound in faith, sound in love, sound in endurance. Endurance looks to the end and lasts until the end. And that's what those of us who are older need to develop, endurance. John Akwari represented Tanzania in the 1968 Olympics by running the marathon. Akwari wasn't far into that race when he had a hard fall. And I mean, he fell and he hit that pavement hard and he just scooted across the pavement. He had cuts, he had abrasions, he had contusions, he had some internal damage. And the medical people rushed to him and tried to get him to stop, but he wouldn't stop. He couldn't run after the fall, but he got up and he limped. When he reached that Olympic stadium to finish the race, it was dark and it was empty. Everybody else had finished long before, and they'd gone home. And he comes limping into that stadium, and he crosses the finish line. There was a reporter there who was finishing up a story. It's the only reason he was still there, Bud Greenspan. And Bud Greenspan went over and he interviewed John Akwari, and he asked him the question that you would have asked, why did you finish? There's no way you could have won. You knew that. What are you doing? And John Akwari said, my country did not send me all this way to start a race. They sent me to finish a race. And that's what I'm going to do. And God says to us older men, I didn't start you way back there so that We're not going to finish this thing. Let's finish this thing together. Let's be faithful unto death. And that is the goal, or should be the goal, of every Christian man. Growing old gracefully for men. And then secondly, Paul turns his attention to women. Verses 3 and 4, he talks about growing old gracefully for women. And what he talks about for them is the life that older women ought to lead and the legacy that older women ought to leave. Now, let's just think about that for just a minute. Let's read the verses, 3 again. Teach the older women, he's telling Titus, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge or teach the younger women to love their husbands and their children. The life that older women are to lead, there is a virtue to avoid, reach for, a virtue to reach for, and two vices to avoid. And that virtue is reverence or holiness. Did you hear it in verse 3? Teach the older women to be reverent. Now, that's a special word for holy, and it was related to the Old Testament priest. The Old Testament priest was to live such a reverent, holy life that he would be separate from everybody else to the point that he could go into the temple and go into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement and get in the literal presence of God. And to do that, he had to live a holy, separate, different life from other people. And Paul says to older women, you live a life that is worthy of the presence of God. Ann Minchell wrote about teaching a 4- and 5-year-old Sunday school, and she was teaching them about the temple. And she said, you know, when the temple was finished, the presence of the Lord filled the temple. A wide-eyed little girl looked at her and said, what kind of presents were they? Toys, bicycles, dolls? And you know, even when we're grown, aren't we more interested in the presence in the sense of gifts that God might give us than we are just being in His presence? And Paul says to women, as you age, come to understand that the real present that God can give you is His presence. And if you get in His presence, that is a precious thing. Well, how do you do it? You get in His presence, of course, by increasingly living that holy life and putting aside sin, because God can't be in the presence of sin. That's why Jesus, hanging on the cross, said, Father, why have you forsaken me? You know why Jesus said that? Because Jesus, the one who was without sin, became sin on our behalf. God took the sins of the world and He put them on Jesus. And when the sins were on Jesus, God the Father couldn't be with them. And Jesus could handle the rejection. Jesus could handle the hatred from people. Jesus could handle getting spit on and beaten. Jesus could handle getting crucified and suffocating on that cross. But His holy heart was broken when God the Father said, you can't be in My presence right now because you have become sin. And Jesus' heart was broken and He said, Father, why have you forsaken me? They'd never been separate. Not really, but now they were because of sin. And so older women, they take sin and they put it aside and they live that holy life so that they can be always in the presence of God. So that's the virtue, holiness, or reverence. And then a couple of slanders that women are to avoid. They are to avoid slander. They are to avoid addiction. Did you hear it in the text? They are to avoid slander and addiction. A slanderer, of course, is a gossip. I liked what one commentator said. A slanderer is a scandal monger. They say hurtful things about others. And this was apparently a vice that was tempting for these older women on the island of Crete where Titus was working. Someone has said slander or gossip is like arthritis. It can get worse as we get older. And Paul says, don't let that happen for you older Christian women. There's two reasons that we ought to avoid slander and look at it as a vice. Number one, it's so deceptive. So often we gossip or we slander and we don't even know we're doing it. One woman was about to pass on some real juicy gossip, and she said to her friend, she said, the preacher says, don't say anything if it's not good, and boy, is this good. Has anyone ever confessed to you that they're a gossip? Has anyone ever confessed to you, I'm a slanderer? I've been doing this over 30 years now, and I have taken every kind of confession you could imagine, publicly and privately. I've never heard one person say, I'm a gossip. Not one. It's so deceitful that we don't realize we are doing it. But let me tell you something else. Slander is devilish. If you look at the word slanderer in this text, the word is used 34 times in the New Testament as a name. You know what the name is? Devil. The literal meaning of devil is slanderer or accuser. I am never more like the devil than when I am slandering someone. When I'm tempted to pass on that little juicy tidbit, I need to ask myself a question. Am I passing this on to try to help or to try to hurt? Am I passing this on because one way or another I want to accuse somebody, or do I want to come to somebody's aid? It makes a difference. So Paul says to older women, avoid slander, and then avoid addiction, not addicted to much wine or not given to much wine. You know, antiquity, as like today, heavy drinkers were admired. If you could drink someone under the table or hold your liquor, you were admired by society. And Paul says, nope, Christians are different than that. We set ourselves apart from that. And so the life that older women are to lead, they are to be holy or reverent. They're to avoid slander and addiction. And then finally, the legacy that older women are to leave. The legacy that they are to leave. You know, older people are just natural teachers, aren't they? Older people just enjoy sharing with those who are younger their experiences and the things that they picked up along the way. I love to hear old people do that, and I hope you do too. What parent has not told their children what it was like when they were younger? You may be looking for a quote from my dad here, and he always had one, but my favorite from him was he would say, son, how old are you? And I'd say 10, and he'd say, when I was your age, I was 11. But older folks just enjoy teaching, and so Paul says older women ought to take their propensity to teach and use it in a positive way by teaching the younger women about life. They ought to pass on the wisdom. Literally, they are to wise up the younger women about how they are to live, especially in their family. Young people get married today and they don't have much of a clue about what marriage is like. Who's going to teach them? Do we want Hollywood to teach them? Hollywood is so out of touch with any kind of morality. I think Hollywood's already fallen in the ocean. Do we want professors at the universities to teach them? They're as out of touch as Hollywood is. We don't even want preachers really to try to teach young women about how to be married. We're disqualified because we're men. Can I quote my father again? He told me when I started dating, he said, son, there are only two ways to handle women. Unfortunately, nobody knows either one. I don't know. Did you notice that Paul is writing to Titus, and Titus is not supposed to teach the younger women? Paul doesn't say, Titus, you teach the younger women. He says, you tell the older women to teach the younger women about marriage and about motherhood and about life. Did you notice that? And so we need our older women to teach our younger women and impart wisdom to them. As we close, can I just say to the young people who are here, don't let this generation talk you out of respecting your elders. There are so many in this current generation who don't believe anybody knew anything until they arrived on the scene. There's so many in this current generation who believe that everything that anybody has ever done before they got here is wrong. I want to tell you something. We talk about young people being the future of the church, and they are, and they're so valuable, and we love them and need them so much. But older people are the past and the present of the church, and we need them too. When an old person dies, it's like a library has burned to the ground. There's so much wisdom and there's so much experience that is quieted when a godly Christian old person passes out of this life. And so while we have them, while they are with us, let's be sure to check out some of that wisdom and some of that experience and just soak it up and let it impact us for good. If you're in Titus 2, listen to verse 11. For the grace of God that has appeared offers salvation to all people. For the grace of God has appeared, and it offers salvation to all people. Salvation from our sins. Salvation from eternal punishment. Salvation. It's offered to everyone. Have you accepted it? God lays out the terms and conditions in the New Testament. They're very clear. How do you accept the offer of salvation? You hear the gospel about Jesus and you believe it. You're willing to repent. That is, stop living for yourself and start living for Him. You're willing to confess publicly that you believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son and your Savior. And then you put Him on in baptism. You are immersed in water as Jesus Himself did and as He told His disciples to do to others. You're immersed in water and you have your sins washed away. Those are the terms and conditions. The offer is standing. If you're ready to receive the offer of salvation, let us know by coming down this aisle and telling us as together we stand and as we sing.